Good morning, everyone. My name is Salvador Ramirez, and I am a Doctor of Plant Health student at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and I'll be talking today about the impact of corn stover removal on soil microbial communities. And the title of my talk is Biofuels or Biology, Can We Have Both? So before I start, I'd like to define corn stover, which is corn residue left in the field after harvest and consists of residue, stalks, leaf, husk, and cobs. There are several soil health benefits of corn stover, which include recycling plant nutrients, sequestering soil carbon, improving soil structure, enhancing activity and species diversity of soil fauna, controlling water runoff, and minimizing wind and water erosion. And there is a lot of interest in removing corn stover for the use of second-generation biofuels, so it's important that we understand how removing corn stover will impact soil health before we start to indiscriminately remove corn stover. So I've split my talk into a couple parts. The first part is, what did we do? What did we find? What do we think? And should we remove corn stover? So our field study is located in Meade, Nebraska, and I include this picture because you can see the plots that have been no-till and the plots that are disc-till. We have randomized complete block design with factorially arranged treatments. The whole plot treatment is the disc or the no-till, and then the subplot treatments are all half or none corn stover removal. And we have 6 reps. The way this looks is that in the none, so if we're kind of looking at it from an aerial view after we've harvested corn, we can see that we leave all the corn stover there. For the half, we remove corn stover from alternating rows every year. So if from 1 year we removed it from those 2 outer rows, the next year we removed it from that middle row. And for the all, we removed as much as we could using a flail chopper, and this was about 70% corn stover removal. And this treatment has been in place since 2001. So for soil sampling, we took 15 cords at the depth of 8 inches per plot after scraping the soil surface. 10 of them were taken between the row, and 5 of them were taken directly on the row. And these soil samples were used for fatty acid, methyl ester, FAME analysis. We sampled on 3 separate dates. In 2014, we sampled when corn was at B10, 12, BTR1, R6, and we took a soil nutrients test when corn was at B5 and 6. In 2015, we sampled when corn was at B8-9, BTR5, and the B8-9 sample also served as a soil nutrients test. For those of you who are not familiar with fatty acid work, the membranes of living organisms are a phospholipid bilayer, maybe a little transport protein in there, some polysaccharides. What we're going to focus on and zoom in is in this. So you see that fatty acids consist of a phosphate group and a glycerol group, and then the fatty acid chain. We split that up using methanol, KOH, and then we just separate the phospholipid off, and we're left with fatty acids in solution. This part is important because this will be more important later in my talk. So the way we name fatty acids, for example, if this one is 16 carbons long, it's C16:0 because it has no double bonds, and this is a biomarker that is indicative of general biomass. If it has a double bond, like for example, in this one in carbon 11, and it's still 16 carbons long, we call it C16, one double bond on the 11th carbon. And that fatty acid is actually indicative of actinomycete organisms in the soil. And they could also have a functional group, for example, this one has a methyl group on the 10th carbon, so this one is 10-methyl-C18 with no double bonds. And, I apologize, this one's the actinomycetes, and this is the arbuscular mycorrhizal FAME fatty acid. And this will be more important when we talk about total canonical structure. So we looked at 19 FAMEs. Those are the bacterial FAMEs, those are the actinomycete FAMEs, those are the cyclopropyl FAMEs. That one is a saprophytic fungal FAME. That is our arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi FAME, and those 3 are the eukaryotes, and C16 being the general. It's important to look at these things in these groups because these different microorganisms do different things in the soil. For example, if we kind of focus just on fungi, fungi are known to improve soil structure by their extensive fungal hyphal networks and their contribution to the chemistry of soil, so it's important to kind of separate them out by these groups. So what did we find? First, we're going to look at total microbial biomass. This plot, I apologize, is a little busy, but you can see that it's grouped in 2014 and 2015 across all 3 sampling dates. This is only in the disc treatment, and this is the impact of corn stover removal only within the disc treatment. You can see that the trends are kind of the same. You can see that as we remove corn stover, we have a decrease in total microbial biomass. This was a significant difference only on that one date in 2015. But now, if we look at the same graph for no-till, this is the no-till. we can see that those differences become more significant and the trends remain the same. As we remove corn stover, we decrease soil microbial biomass. If we look at everything put together, we can see the impact of tillage. And interestingly, we didn't pick up a difference in tillage except for one day in 2015 in the half residue removal. So what do we think is going on in all of this? Well, remember we sampled on 3 dates. And as you can see, corn is at its greatest biomass when it's at VTR1, above ground and below ground. And this is when we sampled in 2015. One might be tempted to say that, you know, soil microbial biomass is so variable even within the corn growing season, and you would be correct if you see that on the VTR1 stage in both years, we had greater overall soil microbial biomass. But that's really just the impact of the corn in the corn growing season and the biomass of corn above ground and below ground. If we also take a step back and now look at this by year, you could also see that in 2015, it looks like we have more microbial biomass overall than in 2014. So one might be tempted to say that removing corn stover might not necessarily be doing anything. But if we look at soil moisture, we can see that in 2015, we started with a greater amount of soil moisture. If we overlay that over our microbial biomass, then we can see that's kind of why we have those differences. So if we go back to just looking at it overall, it doesn't matter the variability in soil moisture or when we sampled, the trends remain the same across any of those natural treatments. We can see that removing corn stover, when we look at the none, which is the purple, compared to the blue, which is the all removal, we can see that removing corn stover decreased soil microbial communities. So in summary, removing residue decreased total microbial biomass. The greatest reduction occurred in the no-till, and tillage had no effect in 2014 and really only had a little bit of an effect in 2015. So if we look at what we saw for fungal biomass, we see that those trends are still the same, that removing residue decreased biomass. This difference was very significant on that one growth stage in 2015, and a little less significant in the no-till system. But interestingly, with the fungi, now if we compare the disc treatment, we can see that when we disced, we increased fungal biomass, and those little stars denote significant differences in fungal biomass. So you can see that those plots, the solid bars, have greater biomass when everything was disc, and those hashed bars are the no-till, and those are significantly less. The ratio of fungal to bacterial biomass kind of behaved like the fungi. So as we removed residue, we decreased the ratio of fungal to bacterial biomass, but also as we tilled, we increased it. So what do we think is going on with our fungal biomass? Well, when we till and we have no-till, we have two different situations as to how our residue is incorporated in the soil. So in the no-till section, we have corn stover not necessarily going too deep in the soil profile. But in the conventional till setting, we not only have our corn stover travel deeper into the soil profile, we've broken it up into smaller pieces. And so we have effectively increased the surface area that our corn stover particles come into contact with soil. And it has been demonstrated that fungal organisms can preferentially grow toward the organic matter substrate. So in a sense, what we've done by disking and by not removing residue is essentially fed our fungal organisms. So in summary, removing residue decreased fungal biomass, and tilling increased fungal biomass. And one last part, what did we find? Well, when we look at our community structure, this is a 2014 canonical discriminant analysis. As you can see, it clearly separates between what is disked, which is the solid circles, and what is no-till, which is the open circles. It clearly separates the effect of disking or no-till. Within the no-till, we clearly also separate the effect of removing corn stover. If we look at the total canonical structure, this is when my little list of fames becomes important, because those green dots are the bacterial, the one purple one is the AMF, and that red one is the fungal. If you kind of keep that image in your mind, I'm gonna change the slide. In 2015, that community structure was pretty consistent with how it was in 2014. Those bacterial are still lumping in that section. Our fungi are behaving similarly. And this is interesting because what we're doing is effectively modifying our soil environment. We have modified the soil environment in a sense that is consistent with how our microbial biomass is reacting to either tilling or removing corn stover. And if we look at the canonical discriminant analysis, We can also see that we once again clearly discriminated between no-till and disked, and even this time within the disked, we even discriminated between the residue removal impact more clearly. So in summary for community structure, the canonical discriminant analysis separated both the impact of tillage and of removing residue, and this separation was very clear in 2015. So should we remove corn stover? Well, I'm gonna give you a little bit more of information. Here are our yields. We saw no significant differences in yields except in 2014, and interestingly, they were greater in the things that had that in the stuff that had all removal. And in 2015, that relationship was also a little different. The greater yields were observed in the stuff that had half removal. If we look at organic matter as measured on loss and ignition, the greatest organic matter was always observed in the stuff that had no residue removal. And this is interesting because after 11 years of removing, or 15 years of removing corn stover, we can see that there's a significant difference between organic matter. We have a difference of 4% organic matter down to about 3.3, 3.4, and that's a significant loss in soil organic matter. So with all that information in mind, should we remove corn stover? Well, it depends. It depends because I think what we're looking at is how a very resilient system, one that had a high initial organic matter, is bouncing back from having corn stover removed. We can see that no matter what we're doing, the environmental factors, soil moisture, or the corn biomass, we still see that microbial biomass is the least in those plots that had residue removed, and they never really bounce back when we compare the ones that had all removal to none removal. So before we decide to remove corn stover to be used in bioethanol production, we should consider our soil environment as a factor such as initial organic matter and soil texture and how that's going to impact our soil microbes and our ability to recycle nutrients and increase our soil health. With that, I'd like to thank all these people on my side and all the people in yellow on my committee. So thank you very much. That's a really good question, and I also think that kind of depends on soil type. After all this time that we've removed corn stover, we still haven't seen these major impacts on yield. So I would say that 3% organic matter is still pretty good. 2.5 is okay, but as we go deeper into that, I think we're going to see a rapid decline of other soil health indicators, because once we lose that initial organic matter, once it gets down to 2, we're going to see differences in physical structure and aggregation, and that'll impact microbial biomass, and that'll impact a whole sort of other things. So what we're seeing is, I think, we're at the tipping point at which if we remove more corn stover, we might be able to see more dramatic changes in what's going on a couple years down the road. And keep in mind, we've been removing corn stover since 2001. I don't really have that data with me, I'm sorry, but I can kind of talk to you about that after the presentation.